Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
It was the 14th of October, and that t-shirt off your shoulder. I was drunk, said I was sober, and you said, yeah, right. We were talking for a minute, then some guy tried to cut in. You took my hand, and we pretended like I was your guy.
Whoa. Good morning, 710 here on News Radio 92.3, informative local Thomas Rhett. I'm Andrew McKay. And joining us now, we have a commissioner for District 4 in Escambia County. That is the eastern half of the city of Pensacola and Pensacola Beach. And that one little outcropping where there's a sign that says, go to the beach this way, he owns that too, theoretically, although nobody there can vote for him. Robert Bender, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Thank you, Andrew. Good morning. How you doing?
Yeah, nobody registered at the sailfish sign, though, right? Just want to make sure I got my facts straight.
I would have to check with Taffy over there with the supervisor of elections of San Rosa County, but no, I don't think I got any votes this last time around.
That's good. All right, so I'm going to ask you the question I asked you last night when I called you on the phone. What happened at the beach this weekend, Commissioner?
We had a lot of people that wanted to come out and visit. In addition to the Pensacola Beach Crawfish Festival, it was also the start of National Parks Week, and the Fort Pickens was free, open to the public. And then it was just an awesome, beautiful day. So a lot of people decided to go out to the beach. We had 23,263 cars go through the toll plaza.
23,000? What day is that in history for us?
Third biggest day. We had 23,500 car days last year. You know, when I came into office 4 years ago, we'd had 122,000 car day. That was like an anomaly. You know, we were always the 21.5 was usually what we're pushing. So we've gone up about 10% in traffic volume over the last 4 years. And we usually can manage it pretty well. But, you know, cars are moving through the toll plaza. We did have a backup on the Highway 98. And that's usually what we try to leave first to prevent that backup. We try to get it. Have it not go beyond the beach sign.
Well, so
that
so
way
for
it kicks off 98.
Yeah, for people who don't, for people who don't know, because as you well know from the pictures, the backup did actually go all the way onto Three Mile Bridge for at least a time. But for people who don't know, that light at Fort Pickens of Ida Luna, that light is remote operated at the traffic center by Escambia County personnel, or at least it can be, right?
It is. We just approved it at the last TPO meeting that we're going to throw in $40,000 to monitor it for the rest of the season. And there's some matching funds there with the state and everything else. So it's the same person who's monitoring Navarre Beach.
Okay.
They saw similar traffic as well, high volume, beautiful day. And so, you know, we've refined a cycle on how we'd like to move traffic. But if, in the instance of last Saturday, when there was still heavy, heavy volume coming on, even at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, he was adjusting that to try to keep it off of Highway 98. And then as soon as we met that criteria, then he was able to start flushing Fort Pickens. We had a 3 minutes of green time at a time to try to get everything moving. So
3 minutes at a time. Wow. So that would be like 3 minutes of northbound onto that intersection green light to get Fort Pickens Road as empty as possible, and then multiple minutes of green light east and west to get the traffic flowing off of Via de Luna or flowing off of the toll bridge, right?
Right. And that's the thing is, and he can do it in real time. We have multiple cameras. We added cameras over the off seasons to give him additional views. And so we can see where their backups are occurring on the beach. But really with the backup through 98, that was our primary focus this past weekend. So, he was making adjustments in real time and then letting those run out. So, you know, I've asked for the data from the Fort Pickens to see how many more cars they had, to see what kind of impact that had. But really, the third highest day, you know, Sunday we still had a 20,500 car day, which is usually what we consider a significant amount of traffic, and we were able to control that and run the plan as scheduled. And I didn't see nearly the backups that we had. So, you know, for even our 21,000, 22,000 car days, I think we can handle that fairly well, given the cycle and the refinements that we've made over the last few years. When you get into a top three, top 5 day, something like that, there are going to be some delays, but we are managing it. You know, he worked all the way till 9 p.m. Trying to make sure that cars were getting off the beach and that things were moving.
And again, for people who might not be familiar, this is a remote operator turning the light green in what he conceives as the most efficient way to flush all the traffic. And you have conflicting traffic patterns, right? Coming off of Fort Pickens and coming onto the beach are a direct conflict at that light. That's one of the challenges. What was the per hour? What was the like average, the car average per hour that you were seeing during the day on Saturday?
Sure. So before we went all electronic, we might hit 2,000 cars an hour for all four lanes, usually within that 1,500 to 1,800. On Saturday, we averaged 2,071 cars an hour for 6 hours straight. So from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., we had over 2,000 cars coming through the toll booth on average in the hour. We had similar volume for a few hours on Sunday, but it didn't last the 6 hours, and it was manageable. To have 6 hours of 2,000-plus cars coming on, again, it's somewhat unprecedented.
And how long during that time, if you know, was traffic seriously, was it backed up past the Sailfish sign? Was it just the one time? Was it multiple times? Was it for an extended period of time when it happened?
It was for an extended period of time. It wasn't until about a little after four that we finally had a break in getting it off Highway 98.
Okay.
I did reach out to Gulf Breeze. They weren't really reporting any issues. The traffic was moving, and that's another thing that we've been able to accomplish with this system is that, yes, you're stuck in traffic, but you're not stopped. And so they didn't see everyone trying to cut through the neighborhoods and things like that. Because the traffic was moving, they also said that for the most part, it seemed that the left through lane to go eastbound on 98 was open.
Okay.
And so the people that weren't going to the beach could get through. Of course, I'm sure there was some backup on the bridge and things like that, but they didn't consider it a really bad backup like we've seen in the past.
And for the most part, people weren't trying to zoom down the left side and then jump in at the last minute or anything like that, which is also good news as well. Hey, hang on for just a second. We're talking to Commissioner Robert Bender, District 4, which is the beach in the east half of the city of Pensacola, and a little plus that, but that's basically it. We've got traffic on the fives now with Candy.
A little slow through Windhaven, but taking a look at Pensacola Beach, Fort Pickens, Villa Luna, all good right now. If you have traffic tips, you can text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
So thanks so much, Candy. Back to Commissioner Bender. You and I have talked over the years, both on and off the radio, about the things that have been done to improve traffic there. I think that the decisions that have been made have been fantastic, and here's the way I think of it. Saturday sucked, okay? But it seems to me, and feel free to give your perspective on this, if we hadn't had, for example, the remote operation, if we didn't have the cashless toll, if we didn't have the dedicated right turn lane down at Fort Pickens Road, if we didn't have the reconfiguration of the two lanes going free-flowing and stopping the overpass lane coming from westbound 98, I mean, all the little things that have happened, I know it was fashionable to be snarky about, hey, look, we got a six-lane bridge and it doesn't matter. I think it would have been catastrophically worse if those other changes hadn't been made. What's your perspective?
I do. I think what we saw on Sunday in terms of traffic volume, so almost 3,000 cars less, we would have seen that on Sunday. And so that's the difference, is that we can do those every day of the week and be fine. When we do get in these large volumes that nobody could, I mean, you could spend hundreds of millions of dollars and probably still not be able to affect that, then yes, that at that point you just have to do your best to control what you have out there.
So
with that being said,
go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say, what is the remedy? I mean, maybe there isn't, right? Because, you know, if we were getting 40,000 cars, I mean, you can't solve that. Okay, so I get that, but is there anything else to be done other than, you know, what, six-laning Fort Pickens or four-laning it, or, you know, six-laning Bob Sykes Bridge? I mean, you know, like, within the realm of reality, it doesn't seem to me like there's any solution beyond what we're already doing. Am I wrong?
So I am getting ready to work. We're confirming a date. I'm going to have a town hall out on the beach, and we're going to talk about a parking garage. The tenants of Quiet Water have come to me and asked – of Quiet Water Beach are coming in and asked me to do that. And so sometime next month, We are going to have that and start looking at if we can put a parking garage over Casino Beach parking lot. I think that would alleviate some of the issue. Of course, you would then you're now forcing more cars to try to exit through the parking lot exit and on a Fort Pickens. But it's a three-legged stool, right? You know, you can control the traffic. Now you've got to work on parking. And so I do look forward to hearing from the residents out there, looking for anyone who wants to come out and discuss it on their thoughts on a parking garage. So we'll be announcing that shortly.
As long as we maintain abundant free parking, I'm open to anything. that's my decision rule, line in the sand. Hey, last thing before we let you go, I did want to mention, because people find it interesting, that you are working on the verge of, just had a meeting, I think last week, for the Ferry Pass Community Center, right?
Yes, we closed on it. We acquired it from EWF last month or so, and we're going to have to renovate it a little bit, but looking forward to getting that open, hopefully around the end of the year.
Okay.
And bring a nice amenity to the community. So excited for that. Held the town hall there. We had a neighborhood cleanup in the area earlier that last week, and I think we have one more for the, I think we call it like North Davis area, next month. So a lot of great things. Also working on trying to do a CRA up there, so they can use some dollars to redo windows and roofs and facades on commercial properties, things like that. So trying to just make it look a little bit better.
And again, that location, if people aren't familiar, the Ferry Pass one, is the old church that's at the end of 9th Avenue, where it dead ends or tees off into Olive. It's in that vicinity right there. So very good. Well, looking forward to that. Commissioner Bender, thanks again. My appreciation. Thanks for all the work you've done over the years on improving traffic flow to the beach. And thanks for answering the questions and giving us some perspective of what happened on Saturday. I appreciate it, sir.
Thank you, Andrew, so much for the time. I appreciate it.
You bet. 722 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
It's so disappointing to hear people use the name of God flippantly. Ladies and gentlemen, God is not your homeboy, and he's not the man upstairs. His name should not be used to express your stress level. Isaiah 6 says that God is holy, holy, holy. The word holy means set apart or sacred. He's holy God the Father, and holy God the Son, and holy God the Spirit. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. May I humbly suggest to you that you think twice before you devalue the name of the One which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell, but instead I urge you to reverence His precious and wonderful name.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel this Thursday at 9, when Molly and Angela from the First City Arts Center will be on the show talking about Create a Sphere Summer Camp for school-aged children and teens with theme-based weeks. Also, their Hot Glass Cold Brew event coming up May 5th in their 17th annual Pumpkin Patch. That's all this Thursday at 9 with the First City Arts Center and the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Mom, can we have some ice cream?
I've got a better idea. Who wants to help me make something fun and healthy instead?
Me! Eating smarter is easy and delicious. Interested in receiving healthy recipes and a whole lot more in your email? Then register at healthiestweightfl.com and learn more about all the small steps that you can take on the way to living healthy. This message is sponsored by the Ounce of Prevention Fund of Florida, the Florida Department of Health, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at News Radio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
From county commissioner meetings to the Blues, Andrew covers it all on your morning drive on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
We're gonna be legends. Gonna get their attention. 725 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Somebody texts me in here, says, I live at the beach. I agree traffic flow is better. Traffic moving is a big accomplishment, even when it's backed up. To the Pensacola Beach sign and Gulf Breeze, it still moves. It only takes about 20 minutes to get through Pensacola Beach to the core, and that's kind of the idea is, you know, again, it might not be good, but it's way better than it used to be, in my opinion, as well. Candy's got traffic on the 5, speaking of.
Yeah, and not showing any problems, of course, on the beach right now, but it looks like everything is running smoothly, except for that Windhaven area, always real slow. This is 98 eastbound, and it is stop and go, and again, not showing an accident. Same area near Aegean Breeze, and then backed up maybe halfway to the causeway, and then a little spotty there. But again, that is 98 eastbound in Navarre. 98 westbound doing just fine, and the other side of 98 too, like Lillian, that area is just fine as well. Certainly, if you have a traffic tip, text it in, 437-1620. We appreciate you. It's News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Oh, a follow-up on the conversation we're having about the proposal, the law moving its way through in Tallahassee to put red lettering all over your driver's license if you're a sex offender. You know, weirdly, it occurs to me, the red lettering in the Bible is, anyway, I mean, they're not connected, but just, it strikes me all of a sudden that that's an odd coincidence. But somebody here, law enforcement says, sex offenses are unique crimes. When with a recidivism rate higher than any other crime, it should be red. And you'd be surprised how many offenders are trying to check out kids at local schools because they're indeed parents or relatives of children. It'd be helpful to make this designation. Everyone should be on notice when they're around. And yeah, if a cop wants to see your ID because you're hanging out at a school, you'd provide it and immediately they would know. Also, they would know if you're in violation of the prohibition on distance, and that might be a deterrent to them doing that kind of behavior as well. So you hadn't been thinking about that, so I appreciate those comments. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Jury selection underway in the trial of a man accused of killing 11 people in a Pennsylvania synagogue in 2018. Prosecutors say Robert Bowers was armed with a rifle when he carried out the attack at the Tree of Life in October of that year. He's facing dozens of charges. A Texas man has died after being attacked by a bull, according to the Ellis County Sheriff's Office in Texas. The victim's father called deputies and reported the incident yesterday. When police got there, they found the bull destroying property, blocking them from the victim. The bull was euthanized. Former President Donald Trump says he was shocked to hear of Tucker Carlson's departure from Fox News. He did an interview with Newsmax yesterday. Trump described the political commentator as a, quote, very good person and said he was very talented. Word of that departure came about the same time it was revealed that CNN was parting ways with Don Lemon.
You know what the funniest part about this whole story is to me? Okay, the thing that like gets buried in, you know, paragraph 18 of the story. You know who broke the news about Don Lemon getting fired at CNN?
Mrs. Lemon?
The New York Post.
That is good.
The New York Post scooped CNN on CNN firing Don Lemon. I mean, that's funny.
That's
funny. That's somebody inside the organization with the speed dial is what that is. Wow. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Yeah, and Tucker Carlson just goes on TV on Friday doing his show.
We interviewed a heroic pizza delivery man called Tyler Morrell, and ever conscious of the opportunity to use our job to get free food, we thought we'd like to taste your pizza. Tyler Morrell joins us in studio. He will deliver literally anywhere. Tyler, it is so great to meet you in person.
A couple Coco's pies.
Tyler Morrell's the guy that tripped up that fleeing suspect, the robbery suspect, you know, in that video on that Ring doorbell where, you know, he's running and he goes and trips him up and the police are like, thanks, but hey, man, don't interfere in the, you know, but, you know, he's a hero, right? I mean, he's helping law enforcement. So what kind of pizza does Tucker Carlson order?
So I am, as you can likely tell, a pizza aficionado. I was a pizza delivery boy for 2 years.
Is it warm at all?
Yeah, it's totally warm. These warmers are just like one of the great wonders of science. And we're gonna. This is sausage.
That's sausage.
And pineapple. And really quick, as a pizza professional, do you look down on this order? Is this?
I do. I think that. I consider it criminal.
I knew you did. I used to deliver pizzas and calzones. I considered it immoral, but I delivered them anyway.
It's actually still hot. It's actually still hot. All the way from
Philly. It's so good. It's unbelievable.
I'm not a sausage on pizza guy, particularly.
Oh, I like sausage
I'm
on
a
pizza.
Pepperoni, you know, much more so. I mean, I won't turn it away. I like, actually, hamburger sometimes can be really good on there. But sausage and pineapple. Weirdly, that sounds good to me because it's, like, spicy and sweet. There's something about that actually sounds like it might be okay to me, but that's probably not the one I'm going to order anytime soon. So
the Tucker special.
There you go. So they go ahead and they have the pizza and he signs
streaming
off.
Streaming now on Fox Nation. Use the promo code ORIGINALS for 30 days free. And we'll be back on Monday. In the meantime, have the best weekend with the ones that you love, and we'll see you then.
Possibly won't be back on Monday. So Brian Kilmeade is filling in at least for now, and you know we'll see what they go with permanently. And then Don Lemon at CNN, which is, I mean, okay. In the scheme of things, the fact that they both lost their jobs within an hour of each other, of course, has nothing to do with it. But, you know, Tucker is the number one show at Fox, right? And Don Lemon worked at CNN, I think.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster.
When I ran for president 4 years ago, I said we're in a battle for the soul of America. And we still are.
President Biden's asking for a second term in a video announcing his re-election campaign.
President Biden says every generation of Americans has had to stand up for personal freedoms, the right to vote, and civil rights, and says this is that moment. His re-election campaign faces headwinds. A recent NBC News poll showing about 70% of voters think President Biden should not run.
Fox's Jared Halpern, a Republican National Committee statement, calls the president out of touch. A three-day ceasefire between military groups in Sudan is allowing more civilians to get away from the fighting.
Witnesses do report occasional gunfire. Secretary of State Antony Blinken saying the ceasefire followed 2 days of intense negotiations, with Saudi Arabia also involved.
Fox's Jonathan Savage, that fighting started 10 days ago. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31. It's News Radio 92.3 right now, 60 degrees, partly cloudy in Pensacola. Congressman Matt Gaetz says he's looking out for our men and women in uniform. He filed the ASAP Act. That's the Armed Services Always Paid Act. That would keep paychecks coming in if a debt ceiling agreement isn't reached in Washington.
Now, I've seen directly what shutdowns do to interfere with research projects and the test and evaluation mission of our military. I've seen how it actually ends up costing us more money when we don't pay the military on time.
Gaetz says that President Biden and Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer will try to argue that a shutdown harms national security. He says his bill would be an effort to combat shutdown politics. Take that argument off the table. Police in Fairhope say they discovered a lethal amount of fentanyl in a candy-shaped form during a traffic stop last weekend. There was an arrest made. 52-year-old James Darrell Hobbs arrested, charged with drug trafficking. Police said they found 7 grams of fentanyl, enough that they say could kill 3,500 people. Investigators say anything more than 2 milligrams of pure fentanyl is considered a lethal dose. There will be a ribbon-cutting ceremony next week for the long-awaited Pea Ridge Connector. It'll finally be open to car traffic, along with bike lanes and sidewalks. It'll also have a roundabout.
A roundabout is just like a traditional intersection. If you want to make a left, stay in the left lane. Stay in the right lane to make a right. You can use either lane if you want to go straight.
Yeah, that's right. FDOT created an instructional video on how to navigate the roundabout. County officials anticipate daily car traffic of about 8,000 vehicles per day. The road will connect Highway 90 with Hamilton Bridge Road, and it'll be the first new four-lane divided highway in Santa Rosa County in 3 decades. Pensacola Energy says they're going to be upgrading their natural gas system in a couple areas of the city starting tomorrow. The first area between Barrancas Avenue, Main Street, and A Street. The second near 12th Avenue along Raintree and Driftwood Drives in Menendez Road. Crews will be replacing about 16,500 feet of metal pipes with polyethylene pipes, which they say will greatly reduce the chance of natural gas leaks. The area near Driftwood Drive expected to be completed in about 2 weeks. Construction around Main Street should be done sometime in July. Customers in those areas could have brief service outages during that transition. And the Escambia County Tax Collector's Office says about 4% of the county tax roll is in danger of being delinquent. Tax collector Scott Lunsford says over $15.4 million remains unpaid, and all unpaid real estate and tangible property taxes need to be paid and received by 4:30 on Friday, April 28th. The delinquent advertisement will be published in the News Journal on May 10th, 17th, and the 24th. It is 7:34, News Radio 92.3. And Candy has a look at our traffic on the fives.
All right, 98 in both directions. Eastbound Navarre near Windhaven. Again, very, very slow. Stop and go there. And then road construction still happening on Lillian Highway between Blue Angel Parkway and 98. That's extremely backed up. Today, more than usual. Thank you for texting that in. Someone said they just sat for 15 minutes waiting to move. So watch there as well. And if you have traffic tips, please text them, and we really appreciate it. 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Beautiful day today with temperatures warming near 79 degrees, 10% chance of a stray shower, otherwise partly cloudy skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 64. We are going to have a chance of rain starting Wednesday, 30% chance of some isolated showers and thunderstorms, high near 79. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 67. Rain chance will increase as you go into the end of the week, but we will have conditions dry up as we go into the weekend. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And our morning off to a beautiful start. We've got partly cloudy skies, 60 degrees here in Pensacola, 64 in Gulf Breeze, and 57 right now in Milton. Our next news at 8. Breaking news anytime, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Jennifer Kishinka with Your Money Now. GM today raised its full-year profit outlook for the year, citing consumers' willingness to spend big on high-end models. The nation's largest automaker says it lifted its forecast because the results for the first quarter outpaced expectations, and cost savings from a recent employee buyout program are flowing to the bottom line. GM says vehicle demand remains strong and consumers continue to pay top dollar, an average of $50,263 per vehicle in the U.S. during the quarter. GM shares up 3% in pre-market trading. Commercial real estate has experienced its share of bursts in recent decades. This one is different. Landlords are contending simultaneously with a cyclical market downturn and with major changes in the way people live, work, and shop. The office vacancy rates reached a milestone in the first quarter when it rose to 12.9%, exceeding the peak vacancy rate during the 2008 financial crisis. On Wall Street, futures lower. That's Your Money Now.
Thursday morning at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel, join Sonia Duquette with Chill Out Cryo Spa. Sonia will be taking your calls and discussing how you can achieve your body goals with body sculpting or pain reduction sessions at Chill Out Cryo Spa. Swimsuit season is almost here, and you'll want to look your best. Find out how Thursday morning at 10 with Chill Out Cryo Spa and the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Bands on the Beach is back. Bring a lawn chair or towel, but no pets or glass, and enjoy live music at the stage on Pensacola Beach. There's plenty of room to spread out and enjoy the sand, the sunset, and great live music every Tuesday night at 7. This week, the Bay Bridge Band takes the stage, featuring a three-piece horn section, blazing guitars, and one of Northwest Florida's top female vocalists. The Bay Bridge Band brings a powerful set of classic rock and roll songs to the stage. It's Bands on the Beach, Tuesdays at 7, brought to you by the Santa Rosa Island Authority.
Tune in to News Radio Pensacola on the FM dial at 92.3 and 95.3. Listen on the AM dial at 1620. Stream us online at newsradio923.com or download the News Radio Pensacola app. You can also listen to podcasts of all of our local shows on demand and get news and traffic alerts. Listen to local talk shows in the morning and afternoon drive, and we're Pensacola's home for Brian Kilmeade. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 7:38, News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Joining us now, we have Chip Simmons, the Escambia County Sheriff. Sheriff, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are y'all?
You know, you're the only one that gets that whoop run-up. I mean...
Hey, it's not bad.
It's good to get an enthusiastic crowd, isn't it? So we had a shooting, what, overnight at the Moorings apartment complex, which I know the Moorings as the place where the tornado went through and wiped out that building. So that's, you know, what I think of.
Yeah, a couple years ago.
Right.
It tore it up pretty good. Yeah, we had a call last night. Shots fired. We get there. We find a man in the parking lot with a gunshot wound to his neck, transported to the hospital for treatment. Unknown condition at this time. I got a message from some of my deputies that says dozens of people were in the surrounding area, but none witnessed the incident. Strange but true, I guess. Canine track was attempted but was unsuccessful. So we're asking if anyone has information. Our detectives have been out all night long and working on this and, you know, trying to find some leads and obviously talk to some witnesses that may have actually seen something.
I was just going to say, isn't it technically more accurate way to say that, that dozens of people in the area who all claim to not have seen.
Yeah, or surprisingly, yeah. in jest, didn't see anything.
Oddly, all turned with their backs to the incident at the time, so yeah, strange.
Don't know nothing about nothing.
So was it a party? Was it out? So do we know anything drive-by or did altercation? We just don't really know anything yet.
No, we don't know anything.
All right. Let's see. Over the weekend, we had something that made a little bit of news on Saturday. We had a guy who was threatening people with a machete. Is this right?
Yeah, we arrested a guy, 50-year-old, too. Should know better. Everett Norman, charged him with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon without intent to kill, I guess because it was in his car. But apparently he was causing some disturbance in the area of Mobile Highway and Lynch Street. Threatened three people with a machete, left the scene in a black Tahoe. We arrived, they found the car a short time later in Cervantes and Balin Streets, and we did recover the machete. We had a picture of that on our Facebook page. So,
under what circumstances is it lawful for a person to possess or carry a machete?
Well, I mean, you can carry a machete, I guess,
it's just a big knife, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
it's just a big knife. The problem is when you threaten to kill someone with it.
Sure. Walking around, can you walk around? Like, I don't even know. I'm not prone to do it. I'm not asking for me personally. I'm just curious if somebody's walking around with them, because you could walk with a knife on your hip, you know, a hunting knife or something like that. That's okay.
Right.
At what point does just the carrying become illegal? I don't know the answer. You're the law guy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, maybe I'm not the law guy now. I can tell you. I guess it depends on whatever it's, you know, you can carry a concealed weapon. A knife can be a concealed weapon at times. And there's with a new law coming around where you can carry a concealed firearm.
Right.
You can obviously carry a concealed knife as well.
Oh, I hadn't thought about that.
I think that you cannot carry an open weapon like that in public.
Okay.
You can't do that.
I'm going to ask you another one. It's just because it's on my brain. I don't know the answer. Are switchblades legal in Florida? Just because you're getting me thinking about like concealed weapons and what kinds of things you would, I don't even know. I haven't lived here my whole life, so.
Yeah, I don't know about that either. I'm not a knife expert, but I can find out for you about the switchblades.
Okay, yeah, no, I'm curious.
I know there are a lot of the, you know, assisted type of mm-hmm. mechanisms that work with knives, and those are obviously okay. But I think the ones where you push that actually has a force that the knife sticks out.
Okay.
I don't believe that they're legal in Florida, but I'd have to check on that.
Okay. I'm just curious. It occurs to me as we're talking about, you know, the machete rules. You know, not that I'm let's see. We also had on Friday. We had your deputies were chasing somebody, and they got an assist from a tree.
We had a guy. I mean, you know, we've had a couple of people that think that it's okay still to run from the law enforcement, and a lot of them have been driving stolen cars. This particular incident, we arrested a 26-year-old. Jerry Anderson Jr. He fled a traffic stop in the area of Hollywood and Avery Streets. They were eventually able to locate him several blocks away whenever he crashed into a tree. You know, when people run from the law, they typically can't drive that well, and they drive and crash into in this case a tree. But we ended up catching him, and we found that he had some marijuana, also driving without a license. He was attempting to flee and elude, and he also was violating parole. So this is not a first-time offense for this individual. So we intend to thank the tree at some time later on.
The tree can get most valuable fauna or flora, whichever one is for the vegetables. And then going back to Thursday, you had a couple of people arrested on some more significant drug crimes, right? Warrant service, I think?
Yeah, we had a search warrant on this particular home, and we arrested 40-year-old Kendall Akins and 41-year-old Ashley Pierce. In that house, we seized 24 grams of cocaine, 14 grams of oxycodone, 65 grams of marijuana, some ecstasy, and 4 grams of hydrocodone. All that means is he had some rather wide variety of drugs, and the concerning part was the cocaine seized had been mixed with fentanyl. And we talk a lot about people overdosing on fentanyl and not knowing exactly what they are getting. In this particular case, we had an individual or individuals who are taking their cocaine and cutting it or adding to it with fentanyl. And so if an individual takes too much of that, or if their mixture isn't exactly accurate, then there, it can be some very tragic.
In those volumes, I'm terrible with understanding this, but like 24 grams of cocaine is, I mean, I'm guessing it's like a half a cup-ish volume, a cup maybe, something like that. It's not massive volume like you see these big drug busts with kilos or whatever, but it's not personal possession amounts probably, right, either.
Yeah, that's what we get into. Is this an amount that you were going to use for one time, or are you trying to package it for distribution? In this case, when you're cutting it with fentanyl, it appears as if you're trying to make money off of it. I think that the fact that they had such a variety would lead us to believe that they were probably trying to sell it or in that intermediate, salesman type role.
Gotcha. We're talking to Sheriff Chip Simmons from Escambia County. It's 7:45. Let's get Canyon here with traffic on the fives.
And watching 98 eastbound in Windhaven, very, very slow. Not showing an accident, but just the slowdown that happens usually at this time of the morning. And then another, the other side of 98, I guess I should say, the road construction happening on Lillian. This is between Blue Angel and 98, extremely backed up. Today, more than usual, someone said that they sat 15 minutes just waiting to move. So they're doing the construction there. Be careful there and wherever you are. And if you have traffic tips, text them in 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Back to Sheriff Simmons. Talking about drugs, but you guys just had a prescription drug take-back event in conjunction with the Drug Enforcement Agency, right?
Yeah, we partner with the DEA and provide a location for people to take expired medication. The deal here is that people have expired medication, or the medication from a loved one that may have passed, and they don't have anything, don't know what to do with the drugs. A lot of times people will flush them down the commode and put those drugs, those very dangerous drugs in many cases, into our water system. And so we partner with DEA and provide an opportunity. We can collect these drugs and then they can dispose of them properly. We were able to, on Saturday, seize about 200 pounds of medication that was turned in just to our sheriff's office, and we will give that over to the DEA, our local DEA partners, and then they will dispose of it so that, again, these particular amounts of medication won't be in the hands of someone else that could abuse them, but also can't be into our waterway and potentially
kids can't find it. Yeah. Doesn't wind up down the drain. All of the advantages of that. You did have one other case we didn't talk about. This was a traffic stop with what turned out to be a stolen silver Impala. Is that right?
Yeah, we had a guy. I told you a second ago that for some reason. We got a lot of stolen cars now. I mean, there's. I know that cars have always been stolen. Since Henry Ford's first.
Are they typically left? Are they typically left open? Are stolen cars typically left unlocked?
Yes.
Keys in them.
Yes. Okay. They're typically left unlocked, and they hide the keys in such great places like under the visor or under the seat, where no one would ever think to look for them. So
right, the impossible places that no thief would ever think of. Right.
I think what's happened is these are car burglars. They're looking for anything to steal, and when they come across keys, they just take the car as well, and then they use that car to affect other crimes. Almost every one of our recent shootings have been done in a stolen vehicle.
Got it.
It's just they steal a car and then they go take that car. Because they obviously, I think that it's because they plan to run from law enforcement, and they don't care if they crash into a tree. They don't care if they bump someone in that particular car. So, we're just asking people to kind of lock your doors or keep your keys in your pocket.
And last thing I wanted to ask you, and this is kind of a follow-up to something you and I talked about a little while back. One of the things when you became sheriff was you wanted to open a couple of new precincts in Molino and Perdido. And, sometimes it doesn't make the news that we did something and it's having an effect or, whatever. But I was just going to follow up. Have you seen value out of having those substations be opened? Is it performing the way you expected to be? And do you expect to open any others?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. Thank you. We first opened these two because historically the sheriff's office had a building. We just weren't occupying it. So we have had a substation or what we call a precinct in these areas. But there was some reorganization and we didn't have that. So it's important to me to have a location where residents of a different particular community can come and meet with shift commanders, can meet with the deputies and take reports from there. And so we opened the one again in Molino and the one in Perdido, and it's worked out very well. We still have issues with trying to get people through training, and that's why we're opening our own training academy. So ultimately, when we have about 20 to 25 deputies that are now in training, And then we can get them on the streets. Then we can continue to fill the outline, what we call the outlying precinct. So it's worked very well. My job, I believe, is to look at the future. You know, I'm not so sure if I'm the only one that looks at the future of this. I drive down some of these roadways and I see all these huge apartment complexes, mm-hmm. and I wonder how many deputies am I going to need to handle that increased burden.
Yeah.
Every time I get an opportunity, I talk to some of our commissioners, specifically Commissioner Bragash recently, about potentially getting a substation in the Beulah area because of just so much growth over in Beulah. And then going back.
I know a spot of land where they might have space for you.
Well, I mean, yeah, there's
about 500 acres right now, just thinking out loud, but go ahead.
Yeah, you know, I just need a precinct in the Beulah area. I don't know. I mean, the sheriff's office doesn't own property. The county owns the property, and gotcha. Then we make use of that property. So I'm, again, maybe not this year, maybe not even next year, but I think that we need to take a look at that from a manpower perspective and also just from a logistics standpoint where we can get our deputies into particular areas. They're growing so fast.
Yeah, the byproduct of growth is you need services like fire, services like sheriff, right? So, I mean, that makes perfect sense. Sheriff Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff. Sir, as always, thanks for the time. Thanks for keeping us informed and receiving the adulation of my producer. I appreciate that.
Or not.
Y'all take care.
7:50 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
The Pete Moore Imports lineup of Volkswagen crossovers and SUVs will fit your lifestyle and your particular budget, whether a Taos, Tiguan, or Atlas. Pete Moore offers you smart choices, starting with the 2023 VW Taos. This sporty crossover is a joy to drive and is packed with technology. Right now, a 2023 Taos SE is discounted to start from $31,439. The 2023 Tiguan SE comes with third-row seating, modern looks, and cargo capacity to hold plenty. It's discounted to start from $32,899. And for the ultimate comfort and more than enough room for your family, friends, and furry companions, the VW Atlas is built for adventure. The 23 Atlas SE with technology now from $41,599. Pete Moore Imports has the selection and prices you've been searching for. They're not in Car City, but at 106 New Warrington Road, Pensacola.
Sale price before tax, title, and dealer fee. See dealer for details.
Hey, if you're thinking about selling your home or buying a home, it can be on either side of the transaction. Christina Leavenworth is fantastic. You know, you want to get the most price when you're selling. You want to get the best price when you're buying, right? And she can work on both of those. She tells me that the new builds are getting good deals on those buying them. And obviously selling, she's fantastic at that. Sold more than 200. I think the actual number is like 230 homes last year. And the reason I mention that is because when you hire somebody to do work for you, you just kind of have to ask, do you want somebody who's going to do, you know, work that they have done once last year, twice last year, or somebody who did it 200 or 300 times? The reason I ask is because on the MLS, you got about 3,000 agents, okay? About half of them sold no homes in the first quarter of this year. That's because most realtors only sell, you know what, one, two, maybe none. Maybe there's somebody who's, you know, they've got their registration, they don't want to let it lapse and not really active, or they're just active enough to sell one a year, something like that. Well, 20 people sold more than 20, 7 sold more than 30. Christina, as of the first quarter, had 36 and 29 more under contract. So again, it's just kind of a, you know, who do you want to represent you? Somebody who's doing it the one time they do it or two times or five times that they do it in a year, or somebody who's, you know, sells 200, 300 maybe homes in a year, not quite that 300, but, you know, is working towards that level. That's what Christina brings to the table, that expertise to solve the problems, get the job done, and obviously get you the best price, whichever direction that is. 723-9158, 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty.
Join Travis Thompson with Climatech of Professional Air, an American Standard heating and air conditioning independent customer care dealer in the Pensacola area on the Pensacola Expert Panel Thursday at 9:30. Join in as Travis discusses how you can lower your energy bill and create a healthy, comfortable home. Join him Thursday morning at 9:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Splash Magazine covers the coast like the Gulf of Mexico. Each month, Splash Magazine offers a calendar of events, plus tips on where to shop, dine, and play. Learn about the month's special events, live entertainment, and interesting local people. Learn how to catch fish with Captain Dave Yelverton. See what is worth watching on your streaming services. Tom Nolan will tell you the latest. Find out how to dress for the changing Florida weather with Jen Wells. Get the most out of the Emerald Coast by reading Splash Magazine each month. For more information, call Gulf Breeze News at 850-932-8986 or visit GulfBreezeNews.com online.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WEAR-TV, and the News Radio team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
The ultimate male versus the ultimate meatball.
You thought you found a friend to take you out of this place. Someone you can lend a hand in return for grace. It's a beautiful day.
Show me that handlebar mustache, bleached love. That's some Hulk Hogan there. That's right. 7:55, that's Rocky III in case you don't remember. 7:55 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, Taco Bell. I say that because did you see the picture that's shown up on social media yesterday of the Taco Bell-branded Fiesta Strength Scott Tissues toilet paper? 12 big rolls with the picture of two Taco Supremes. That's not real. But it's hilarious.
Hey, we ran for the border Sunday.
It's hilarious, yeah. You know?
That's accurate. It's fake, but it's
accurate. That's a catching you on both ends, so to speak. Let's see. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
On that note, a couple areas to watch out. One, Winhaven, 98 eastbound. Again, just very, very slow again this morning. Not showing any accidents, but slow. And then slow on Lillian Highway between the Blue Angel Parkway and 98. Extremely backed up today more than usual as they're still doing that road construction. Traffic tips, text 437-1620. It's News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks, Candy. Into the newsroom now, David Wayne's got our headlines. David?
They've agreed on a three-day ceasefire in Sudan. NBC's Richard Engel with the latest.
The United States announced a 72-hour ceasefire between the two warring generals in Sudan, giving some hope to the country, including the 16,000 American citizens who are still there, unable to leave. But previous ceasefires have quickly collapsed.
U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken says the Sudanese Armed Forces and Rapid Support Forces came to that agreement after 48 hours of negotiating. Identity theft is up drastically in Alabama. A lending tree analysis shows identity theft in Alabama went up 110% over the last 4 years. That puts the state in the top 10 in the country. West Virginia had the biggest increase over the same time frame. And this is one list Florida actually did not make.
Police, hey, that's good.
That is good, absolutely. And police in New Orleans have issued an arrest warrant for former UFC fighter Nate Diaz.
Diaz is accused of kneeing and choking a man out during a brawl on Bourbon Street after a boxing event early Saturday morning. He's wanted on suspicion of second-degree felony battery. Video posted to social media shows Diaz choked the man unconscious. Police say the man was treated by paramedics after he woke up and was found bleeding from the back of his head. I'm Daniel Martindale.
I'm surprised I didn't hear about that one before.
Well, what happened before? I mean, just because you choke a guy out doesn't mean you did anything wrong. He might have been. I don't know what happened prior to that. I mean, right?
Dude, if you fight in a bar brawl and the guy happens to be a UFC fighter, aren't those like registered weapons?
No.
Or am I just thinking of the movies?
That's a movie.
I would assume there's a lot of fights on Bourbon Street that break out, but that just would be like would be the unlucky one. Like,
guess who's not buying the winning lottery ticket today?
Oh, hey, Ronda Rousey, who do you think you are?
That's right.
Who names your kid Ronda? Oh. No.
Thanks for the update. 5:58 on News Radio 92.3. What else? Oh, this is fascinating. India is going to pass China for the world's most populated nation by the end of the month. 1.45 billion. They're increasing. China's on decline. In fact, you know, because of all the anti-population measures, they were taken very seriously by China, not taken all that seriously by India. It's just weird because I don't think of India as being a world power in that sense. I mean, yes, they're a nuclear nation, but, you know, 1.5 billion people is a lot. It's 4.5 times us. Like, that's a lot of people. And I don't know that they necessarily manage their human resources all that well, but if they can pull it off, a lot of young people, it could be interesting to see what happens with the subcontinent come, you know, 20, 30, 40 years from now. Meanwhile, Disney has been laying people off about 7,000, and now this includes people at ESPN. The first round of layoffs didn't have people at ESPN. So a lot of people, you know, not just Don Lemon and Tucker Carlson losing their jobs, cast characters at parks and, you know, all sorts of people. And then this, it just struck me as odd. 40 editors have resigned from two leading neuroscience journals because they say that the articles charge excessively high, what they call article processing charges. You pay to publish in these journals. I didn't know that. which I guess makes sense because, you know, it's either charge the users a lot of money or make them available open source and charge the publishers. I mean, somehow you got to make money. They're not getting it on ads. But like thousands of dollars, which usually comes out of the research grants that you're operating of, apparently, but, you know, $3,000-$6,000 to publish in some of these journals. So the researchers actually pay the journal to publish their stuff.
Listen on air.